Here are the words. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me, Jesus says. Jesus says this to his disciples and the crowd that has gathered. He says to them, if you want to be my followers, he doesn't say, you have to be my followers. If you want to be my followers, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. What is this picking up our cross? Now, at first, I'd like to begin by maybe pointing out what it is not. Okay? You maybe, like me, have said, or you've heard someone say, it's my cross to bear. Any of you ever heard somebody say that phrase, or maybe even said it ourselves? It's my cross to bear. And often, we're referring to something that we're challenged with, okay, or burdened with in our lives. And we take it upon, we say, that's the cross I have to bear. I want you to know, I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. And in fact, these words have been utilized to perpetuate an abusive relationships. Somebody who might be in an abusive relationship might find themselves being convinced or manipulated or feeling inside, this must be the cross that I am to bear. And I'm here to say that's wrong. Jesus never desires any of God's children to be burdened, challenged, or abused at all. And anyone that says that you must stay in an abusive relationship because that's the cross you are to bear, that is wrong. Let me say that as clearly as I possibly can. It is wrong. That is not of God. I want to make that clear. And now, moving on. So if that's what it is not, what is this picking up our cross and following Jesus? Now, in Jesus' day, when Jesus said these words, in that culture and in that time, the cross meant one thing and one thing only. Death. There was no doubt about it. We're told that Jesus says these words to them quite openly, quite clearly. He's telling them, pick up their cross, be ready to die, and follow him. And it's not a figurative or metaphorical death. He's telling them, be willing to die. Because the cross was an indicator and that which represented the most horrific, humiliating way of dying that humans could think of at that time. They worked long and hard to make this the most difficult and most painful and most torturous way to die. The cross. And now Jesus is saying, pick your cross up, which means quite clearly, be ready to die. These are the words that we have in front of us today. These are difficult words to hear. Hence why Peter takes them aside and goes, wait a minute. But it's quite open, quite clear. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Now, I'm not sure if many of us have had the experience of proclaiming that we are a follower of Christ and having our lives threatened because of it. Now, you may have. And there are places in this world that that is accurate and true. I personally have not had that experience, and I don't know many that have. So what might these words mean to us today? For those of us that don't have our lives threatened because we are proclaiming to be followers of Christ. But I don't think these words are any lighter or more or diluted at all. We must still hear these words of Jesus. If you're going to be my followers, deny yourself, pick up your cross, be ready to die, literally, and follow me. These are tough words. And like I said last night, trust me, this whole week in preparation, I've in my head, I've been trying to figure out ways to soften them, to put a little bow on them so they don't sound so harsh. But the reality is, I don't think that would be faithful to these words at all. When Jesus says openly and clearly to those disciples and to that crowd and to us, he's being very clear. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Be ready to die. And follow me. Whoa. And I started to ponder a little bit. Where are the challenges that we might experience in proclaiming that we are followers of Christ? Where might we be challenged to say, well, I may not say that so loud here. And I came across the story. And the story's setting is in Alabama in 1960. Okay? In 1960 in Alabama, my understanding is that there were some clear boundaries and clear distinctions between races. And some of those boundaries were so filled with angst and hatred that you were not to cross them. Especially the mixing at all of African Americans and white Americans. It was quite clear in 1960 that you were not to cross those boundaries from any direction. That's the setting of this story. It was late one night in Alabama, and an African American woman was driving her car in a pouring rain, desperately trying to get to her destination. And her car broke down. Middle of the night, 11:30 at night. And it's pouring rain. And she cannot get her car started. She gets out of her car and she does whatever she thinks she can to get her car started, and she can't get it started. And she is soaking wet as an African-American woman in the middle of the night in Alabama. And she is desperate. She is fully aware of the boundaries and the barriers that are around her. And yet she decides, I'm going to flag down the next car and ask for help, knowing the risks that may come with that. So she does. She waves down the next car that comes by, and the next car that comes by stops, and a young white man gets out. The young white man is fully aware also of what barriers and boundaries that were very clear in that setting and in that time and in that place. And he got out of his car and sees this African American woman who is in need. And he helps her. He gets her to a safe place and then gets a taxi for her. And it was clear this African-American woman was in a hurry to get to where she wanted to be. But before she left, she got his address from him. And then she left in the taxi that he got for her. A week goes by, and this young white man, there's a knock at his door. And there's a delivery man with a brand new television, with a note from guess who? The African-American woman that he helped on that rainy night in 1960 in Alabama. And she says, "I want to thank you for your kindness and your willingness to stop and help me on that night. I was drenched. I was drenched by the rain and physically soaking wet, and my spirits were soaking wet too. I want you to know I'm so appreciative of your willingness to stop and help me. Your generosity allowed me to get to my dying husband before he died. And just after I arrived, he died. And I want to thank you. I cherish your kindness." Signed, Mrs. Nat King Cole. Those two people knew the boundaries and the energies that said you do not mix. They knew full well what possibly could happen. And yet they chose to deny themselves. And the young white man said, "No, it's more important that this person knows that they have help." Now, like I said, I want desperately to soften these words, but the reality is we have one question in front of us today. Are we ready to deny ourselves? Are we ready to pick up our cross? Are we willing to die? And this is not a figurative death. Are we willing to give everything and follow Christ? As a congregation, Holy Shepherd Lutheran Church, this question is before us. Are we ready to deny ourselves, pick up our cross? Are we willing to die for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the good news? Because Jesus is not asking us to die just to die. It's for the sake of Jesus, the sake of the gospel. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say, as we move into this time of transition, as we move into the future, we're willing to die, literally, for the sake of the gospel? It's not an easy question to respond to. As individuals, are we willing truly to die to follow Christ for the sake of the good news and for the sake of the gospel? And there might be some of us that go, "Absolutely, and I give you praise and I give you thanks, give thanks for your faithfulness." And I don't know if I'm there all the time. These words are not just words that go, "Oh, yeah, nice, nice." They're serious. So, here's the question, friends. Holy Shepherd Lutheran Church, Jesus says to us, "If you are to follow me, are we ready to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, be willing to die, and follow?"